Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at Harrisonburg and our Elkton campus at 9 or 10:30 a.m. or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45 a.m. Explore to celebrate recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
We're starting a new teaching series called Never Alone. Never Alone. Throughout this series, we're going to talk about some common struggles that many of us experience but don't always feel comfortable talking about in church. Part of our goal in this series is that over the next couple weeks, we might disrupt one of the enemy's primary tactics, and that is getting us to believe that we are all alone in what we are facing. Or that the enemy would have us believe that nobody else is dealing with it, therefore something must be wrong with me and I should keep quiet about it. When we give in to that temptation of the enemy, we are missing the healing that is available in Christ and in community with other believers. The truth for us today is that we are never truly alone. That we have the promises of Christ's presence with us and the community of believers around us for support. And so in the next couple of weeks, we're going to see that many people in the room with us week in and week out are facing very similar struggles that we are. And together, we want to seek the healing and comfort of Christ and the comfort of community together in that journey. Our series begins today talking about depression and anxiety. Depression and anxiety. Those two things can specifically bring a certain sense of shame, especially for the Christian. And that often results in a reluctance to talk about that openly and a reluctance in seeking comfort and seeking prayer from others. You see, when we're hesitant to have that conversation or to be honest about our struggle, we cut ourselves off from the encouragement of the church community. We're tempted to feel strange or that our problem is unique, so we keep it to ourselves, and that's where we stay. And friends, within that is a push towards isolation and secrecy, and that's exactly what the enemy wants in that journey. You see, the enemy wants you to believe that you're the only one who experiences depression and anxiety. He wants you to believe that you're the only one who gets help from medication or sees a counselor. He wants you to think that you're strange and alone because you suffer or live with these things. He wants you to believe that there's something wrong with your faith or that perhaps you're not a good Christian because of it. And of course, none of these things are true, but those feelings do serve to complicate how we deal with those things in our life. You see, depression and anxiety are really not new problems facing the people of God. There's certainly a marked increase in recent years. A lot of data backs that up. But God's people have been wrestling with depression and anxiety throughout the whole witness of Scripture. If you would go to the Scriptures and look for the experience of God's people facing anxiety, if you would go to the Psalms, you will see the psalmist wrestling with the depths of despair and anxiety and anxious thoughts that can plague our experience. Psalm 42, for example, in verse 5, the psalmist prays, he cries out, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me?" What does that sound like to you? It says, "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God." As the Psalms are a rich treasury of God's people praying and seeking Him from anxious thoughts in the pits of despair, we also see these emotions, anxiety and depression show up in the stories of God's people. One of the places I often go in my own life is the story of Elijah. Elijah was a mighty man of God. He was sent, he was called, he was equipped by God to call the hearts of Israel back to worshiping Yahweh, the one true God. 1 Kings 18 is what you might call one of the highlight moments of Elijah's life. He has a showdown with the false prophets of Baal. They gather around. They are trying to prove who's the true God. There's kind of a moment where this conflict is coming to a head. And so the false prophets, they dance around for hours. They're trying to get their gods to do something, and of course they can't. They're powerless because they're not real. So Elijah watches all this go down, and he waits patiently. And when finally his turn comes, he steps up in bold confidence, calls down fire from heaven. Think about this. What faith would it take for you and I to call down a fire tornado out of the sky and consume soaked wood in a sacrifice? That's Elijah. These things happened. This is the man of God we see. The fire is called down from heaven. This is the things that action thriller movies are made of. Elijah is a mighty man of God with enough faith to call down fire from heaven in front of the whole nation. And you're thinking, great, what does that have to do with depression and anxiety? That comes next. So we go from the mountaintop of that victory to chapter 19. The very next chapter, the evil queen Jezebel, she was kind of a fan of these false prophets. That was her gig. And she hears that all these false prophets have been humiliated and killed. She sends a message to Elijah in chapter 19. Beginning at verse 2, so Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. So this queen threatens Elijah. I'm going to kill you. Now, Elijah just called down fire from heaven. The threat of a queen doesn't seem like that big of a deal, right? In comparison. But what happens? Verse 3. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. What does that sound like to you? He says, I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. And then he laid down under the bush and fell asleep. From the mountaintop of victory with faith to call down fire from heaven to the pit of despair under a broom bush to say, Lord, I'm out. I'm ready to die. Elijah, in this story, we read past it so quickly, but geographically, he runs about 100 miles to escape the threat of the queen. I don't know about you, but a 100-mile run? Marathons are 26 miles. This cat runs 3 of them. Overreacting? Or is he living out of a place of desperation and fear? Have you ever been there? Have you ever overreacted based off of feelings of anxiety or depression? One of the greatest prophets to ever live saw victories that we can scarcely imagine, and he dealt with the depths of despair. He wrestled honestly with those emotions, and Elijah reminds us that even the greatest in the kingdom can still struggle with depression or anxiety. If you jump into the New Testament, if you follow Jesus into the Garden of Gethsemane, we see Jesus there experiencing such extreme anguish and sorrow that he said he was overwhelmed to the point of death. Luke 22:44 records that Jesus is under such anguish, such despair, such pressure emotionally and mentally, he prayed all the more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Look at the intensity of emotion that Jesus is facing in those moments. From the Old Testament through the New Testament, and even in the story of Jesus, we see people of faith dealing with depression and anxiety. And friends, we don't have to only look to the Scripture. We can look around us today and also find people who are struggling in this area too. In our campus, across our other locations, you are truly not alone. Part of our desire in this teaching series, it's going to be a little bit different than maybe what you're used to. Part of our desire in this series is to share real stories of people who are facing the different challenges that we're going to talk about. People who are facing the same difficulty in their walk of faith, to hear how they've been affected and to learn how they made it through and found hope and comfort in Christ Jesus. This week, I want to invite you into a conversation that I got to have with a dear friend of mine named Pastor Jim Harrison. Pastor Jim has been a part of the Church of the Nazarene locally since the late 90s and in ministry many years before that. Jim has invested a lot in my life personally. He's been a dear friend. He shares in what seems like unlimited energy and knowledge of the Bible. And I asked him to join me for this conversation because with that impressive of a resume, and if you know Jim, he's a giant of the faith, a real deep voice and very authoritative hold on the Word of God. You might look at him and be surprised to find out that he has had significant bouts with anxiety. A pastor, a theologian, a giant in the faith with anxiety. He really embodies the heart of this series, and that though we might look around the room and feel alone or think, oh, I'm the only one, or no, not that person, that no, people are wrestling and struggling with these things. Even people we might not think. So Pastor Jim and I sat down earlier this week. He wasn't available. He's preaching in Comertown this morning, so he couldn't do it live. But we recorded about a 15-minute conversation. And so we're going to play that, and I'm going to go sit down. It's 15 minutes long, but I would just invite you to listen in to his story. Hear where he found comfort and hope, and hear that you're not alone today. And I'll come back up, and we'll talk about a few more ways to live this out. But why don't you join me? Pastor Jim, thanks so much for joining me for a conversation today. We're in a teaching series called Never Alone, where we are together looking at different topics in the church that aren't always openly discussed, that sometimes we might not feel permission or might not, maybe we feel shame about having those conversations and seeking healing. And so we're really trying to open that up throughout this series. And today's conversation, or this week's topic, is about anxiety and depression. And I know you have dealt with that in your life. And for those that don't know you, you've been a pastor for a lot of years, been a dear friend of mine, and shared a love of the Word of God and some good fried chicken too, which always helps.
Absolutely.
But Pastor Jim, would you share with us today a little bit of your story and maybe specifically how you've dealt with depression or anxiety, panic attacks in your walk?
Well, I've always been a happy person. I generally am an early riser. Over the years, it's just been the way I've done things, you know. I'm ready to get out of bed, ready to go, whatever the chore might be. And in 2016, in the month of December, I was on sabbatical, and we were building a new home, and so there was, you know, a little extra, that, you know, in there.
Yeah.
And I've had a lot of people say to me over the years, if I ever had to build another new home, I'd move away, you know, and just buy one. Because there is a lot, you know, involved in the process of all of it. But I think there was probably more to it than that. When you think about anxiety and depression, it's not something that people want to volunteer to talk about. I think a lot of people think that there's a stigma that may be related to that. And I know for me, you know, during the month of December, when I got up at night, you know, in a worried state, that I actually tried to be as quiet as I possibly could because I didn't want Deb to know, you know, what I was personally going through at that time. Very few people did. You, of course, knew a little bit about it, but not a great deal about it.
Yeah.
And so somewhere during the course of that, I decided to go to the doctor, and just talk a little bit about the anxiety that I was experiencing, more so than depression. And so she recommended that I just have an exam, and found out that my thyroid was out of whack. And so some of the things that we go through in life, you know, that are related to anxiety or maybe depression may not be just spiritual or mental, it may be physical. Yeah. And so, you know, there are ways that the doctors can address that. So I was put on not only thyroid medication, but she also put me on some medication for my anxiety. It was more than I really could take. I mean, I couldn't even get out of bed in the morning because I can't take a lot of medication. It has to be low doses. And so when we finally figured out where that dose was, it was able to level me out to some degree, but at the same time, I continued to experience, you know, this idea of worrying about things, about the future. You know, am I going to be able to manage all of this? And I think sometimes there is a spiritual side to this, that the enemy makes things look bigger than what they really are, in an effort to confuse us. You know, when I look back at some of the people that I have looked to for spiritual leadership in my life and have read after, you find out that some of them have dealt with tremendous depression, anxiety in their lives. Charlie Spurgeon, who was known of as the Prince of Preachers, struggled with that depression all of his life. His wife would actually take verses of scripture and she would write them on strips of paper and she would glue them to the ceiling of his bedroom so that he could be reminded of the faithful promises of God. And so when you read about people like that, all of a sudden you realize, well, maybe I'm not as abnormal as I think I am.
Yeah.
And you begin to realize that there are a circle of people that you are beginning to learn about who have to deal with the same kinds of issues.
Yeah, that's good. How did you see in that season, how would you articulate that you saw God move? How was your faith? How was prayer, Bible reading? I know you were leaning in, you were digging still. Can you just talk to us a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, there are passages of scripture, you know, that do help you. I think, you know, when people are dealing with anxiety, depression, probably the greatest place to go to is the book of Psalms. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because David deals with the heights of joy. He deals with the depths of depression. He talks about the fact that the Lord is his refuge, his fortress, his strong tower. He talks about the personal aspect of how the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, he's with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort, they protect me. So, all those things are, helpful. The prayer aspect of it is when you're in that position, you're really in more of a place of crying out to God. And I think that one of the things that is really helpful for people and for myself is the fact that I chose music to actually minister to me during that time, because music is such a universal language. And so some of the music that I listened to, easygoing, slow ministering hymns, maybe choruses, things like that, really were a comfort to me. I think the other part of that is when you talk about the process of healing is the part that people play in your life. Mm-hmm. And, of course you and your wife were very helpful to me in that moment, you know, of time, whether you realized it or not. But my family, I know that during that time, Beth and Garrett were home from Biola University. They were here for the Christmas season. And I just asked my family in kind of an undertone way, you know, just to be near me. And, it's the whole idea of iron sharpening iron. Mm-hmm. It's two walking together in agreement. It's the threefold cord, can't easily be broken. That whole idea of Jesus himself drew near and went with them, his disciples on the road to Emmaus. And so surrounding yourself with people who can encourage you, people who can pray for you, people who can lean in, as you said, to really, you know, pick you up, bolster you during that time. I'll never forget, you know, I was really excited about the whole idea of being able to get back to work, you know, because I'd been on sabbatical that month and I hadn't been around Roger and some of the other folks, you know, here, mm-hmm. Pastor Joe and Pastor Kerry and others. And so that was a long season for me, you know, 3 or 4 weeks where I wasn't really around anybody and going through this period. And I had watched, you know, the baseball game years ago where, you know, the coach became a pitcher. You know, he had played, but he'd blown his arm out. He ended up coming back and being given an opportunity to play in the professional leagues mm-hmm. again. And one of the guys who was playing with him, both of them were going to be moved up to the majors, but they didn't realize it. Neither one of them did. But he decided, you know, he was going to go home. He had a family, had a wife, children, and he was just going to focus on taking care of his family. And his wife said, look, you've gone, you've gotten on the baseball field. This is the one shot you're going to get. Don't step away from it until you're sure that you don't want to do it anymore. And so he realized, you know, here's maybe an opportunity, second win. And the next day he gets up and he goes into the locker room, and Brooks is his friend's name. And he leans over and here's this older guy playing with a bunch of younger guys. And he says, hey, Brooks, guess what we get to do today? He said, we get to play baseball. And I remember going through that season, and the first day that I stepped back onto the parking lot, I was on this side, Pastor Roger was on the other, and as he came toward me, I leaned forward and I said, hey, Rog, guess what we get to do today? We get to go back to work. Yeah. And, you know, there's so much to be said about the relationships that we have in life, yeah. you know, how helpful they are, and just the network of support, you know, that you receive from them. The worst thing in the world that a person can do in struggling with anxiety and depression is to be alone. Yeah. Yeah. You can't allow yourself to be alone. You have to fill yourself with good thoughts. You have to fill your life with people around you who love you and care about you.
As you were sharing that story, sometimes maybe the easiest decision is to do nothing mm-hmm. In those moments. But healing comes, hope happens. Make the decision to do something, to get into Scripture, to cry out to the Lord. Maybe the only prayer you know is in that moment is just to cry out, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Put yourself around other people, even if really you just want to stay at home in your bed. Like, that decision to do those small things, I think, is pivotal. And I hear you making that decision in that season. It's just, don't do nothing. Don't let it continue to consume you.
And I can say this, that, you know, when things began to crash in, you know, during that season, I remember I called Pastor Kerry first, and they were actually having a pastor's retreat here. It was a Thursday morning, and they were having a time of teaching. And when he picked up the phone, he said, well, I'm in the meeting. And I said, well, you go ahead and finish the meeting. What I did was I left that phone conversation. I went and got in my bed, and I pulled the covers over my head. And I didn't want to harm myself. I can honestly say I didn't want to harm myself. But at the same time, I had the thoughts that if I had to live like this all the time, I wouldn't want to live like that.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people out there who struggle with anxiety, depression, at a much deeper level than I did. And I would just say to them that the most important thing that you can do is, first of all, find out if it is physical. And if it is, then address it from a medical perspective. But if it's emotional and mental, then you have to surround yourself with people who are going to pour good things into your life.
That's good. That's a good final word. Pastor Jim, would you pray, as we're watching this together as a church family, would you pray for that person, or any last words of encouragement for that person that's listening to this talk today and is in that place? So any final thoughts, and if you would just pray us out?
Well, you know, sometimes we get into those situations and we can because of our humanness, ask the question, Lord, do you really care? Mm. And the beautiful thing is that Jesus does care.
That's good.
Steve and Annie Chapman, who are two of my favorites, used to sing a song, Does Jesus Care, when I said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me. When my sad heart aches and it nearly breaks, I know my Jesus cares. Mm. And what a beautiful thing to realize that God does care. And the other thing is, He will make a way. He will be our guide, hold us close to His side. In love and strength for each new day, God will make a way. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank You for our time together today and for Your goodness. We have been brought up to hear the words, God is good. And Lord, we want to thank You today that You are good and that You're worthy of our praise. And I pray, Lord, for those who may struggle with anxiety, with periods of depression, that they might realize that we can look to Jesus, who not only is the author, but also the finisher of our faith. And there is help. I pray, oh God, that we would look into the various avenues and find those who would be able to help us address the needs that we have, and to realize, Lord, that we can indeed experience Your victory, Your power, Your grace in our lives at perhaps a greater level than we've ever known before, because we walked through the valley and You brought us out to the other side. And we thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Pastor Jim, thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Jerry.
I've heard it said that humans are the only creatures with anxiety because we have a past we cannot forget, a present that is fleeting, and a future that we cannot control. Maybe you can resonate a little bit with that today. I do recognize that there is a limit to the help that we can offer and give in a 30-minute message on a Sunday. If you're here today, you're looking for more help or more encouragement in this area, we're going to talk about just a couple next steps, but please hear today and know that this is the beginning of a conversation, that a lot of what we're focused in on today is to know that you're not alone, and the encouragement to take those steps towards healing. And anything that we would talk about in these last couple moments would be framed in a heart posture of prayer and seeking the Lord, that we would seek healing in Christ first and His wisdom for that journey. One of the places we want to go and ground ourselves is, of course, the Word of God. And nobody's surprised about that. That's not something you wouldn't expect in this conversation. But we've already seen the story and heard lots of different places that we can find this lived out, but the Scripture tells us a lot about how to approach healing, how to seek healing in these areas of depression and anxiety. For example, we would read in Philippians 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Now, you might hear that and you think, don't be anxious. Well, great. Why didn't I just think of that? I know that's how this might sound, but this is really an invitation. This is not saying, oh, just don't do it. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to bring our anxiety, our depression, those feelings that we are battling into our relationship with the Lord, bring our whole self openly and honestly into the Lord's presence as we seek His guidance and His healing. And that's really the message that we see from Jesus too. Matthew 11, 28 and 29, Jesus speaking, He says, "Come to Me, all you who have all your stuff figured out." He doesn't say that. "Come to Me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you could possibly find rest for your souls." What does He say? You will. and you will find rest for your soul. See, there's an invitation again from Jesus that does not exclude people who are dealing with depression and anxiety. It's an invitation to come to pursue healing in Him. And that we would pursue Christ and healing in Him does not mean that we don't pursue it other avenues. It doesn't mean that we don't find help from counseling. It doesn't mean that we don't go and seek medical counsel and advice for our challenges. It means that we frame that entire journey within our relationship with Jesus, and we take that journey with Him. That's the invitation. That's it. You see, the invitation is that we would bring that into our relationship with Jesus, that we would take that with the Holy Spirit's guidance and peace that only He can give us. And to the point of this series, Never Alone, that we would take that journey with Jesus and we would open ourselves up to the comfort and the care of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. To receive encouragement from them, to encourage others who may be in a similar path that we have been. 2 Corinthians 1 really frames this whole series for us in this idea of never alone. 2 Corinthians 1, beginning at verse 3, says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." For the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to the church and to Christians in Corinth, there is a direct connection, a link between the comfort we receive from Christ and the comfort that we are to share with others. It is like two sides of the same coin, that we pursue comfort and healing in Christ and we would share that with others. That's never alone. That's what we're calling us, ourselves, to within this series. And so as we take this journey, we're never alone, that we would seek the comfort in Christ, that we would dive into the Scriptures. Along this journey, I just want to make myself and Pastor Terry available to you. Of course, we are not trained counselors. That's not our profession, but we are here for you. To be a listening ear, to be a prayer partner as you think and as you pray and embark on this journey. Here's a slide with our phone numbers on it. You're welcome to take a picture of that to reach out to us, just that we might be able to listen, to have a conversation. Another avenue of healing that you might consider is to go seek out counseling through a gifted Christian counselor. And we have been blessed in our local community with many of those options. One that we refer people to is Journeys Counseling Ministries out of Harrisonburg. You can find them online at journeycounselingministries.org, or you can call them. Their phone number I have listed there for you. What caught me in Pastor Jim's story is the effort that it takes. The easiest thing in the world to do is to go back in bed, to pull the covers over your head, to isolate. Friends, don't do nothing. Take a step of faith in pursuing healing in Christ. Take a step of faith to open up to someone else in the church about the struggle you're going through. Pursue healing. You're not alone. As we conclude this morning, I'm going to ask you to be bold today. I believe that there are people in the room this morning that have or are currently dealing with depression or anxiety. And I'm going to ask you to stand here in just a moment so that we might be able to see, hey, there's somebody I can talk to. And I thought about this, well, what if nobody stands up? Well, I need you to know that I'm standing. And so if nobody else stands up in the room, it's okay. But if you're here this morning and you've dealt with depression or anxiety or panic attacks in the past, or maybe you're in that season now, would you stand? Would you be bold with me? And just so that we could look around the room and know I'm not alone. And if you're thinking, man, I would love to have someone to talk to, why don't you just turn around and see who's standing? This, friends, is never alone. And I know that anxiety and depression can range from the clinical to seasonal, and that's okay. Our stories are going to be different. But we have a commonality in Christ. We are the church together, seeking Christ and His comfort and His healing, and we're never alone. Now, if the rest of you would stand, I would love to pray. I was in my Bible reading plan this morning, and I still, to be real honest, I wasn't sure how we were going to close today. And then I read this passage, and it's as if the Lord said, here you go. And that's Romans 15, 13. I'm sure you may have heard it before. But this is Paul praying for his brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's my prayer for us today. And it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. So He's the God of hope. He's the one to fill us with joy and peace. Our call is to trust Him, to place our faith in Him. And as He fills us with joy and peace, that happens so that our hope may overflow by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Lord God, we recognize You today as the God of hope. And Lord, today my prayer, our heart cry, is that You would fill us with all joy and all peace, Lord Jesus. And we see in this passage our invitation, our part in this is that we would look to You and we would trust You, Lord. And in the midst of despair and depression and anxiety, Lord Jesus, I understand that that can be hard. Lord, we might want to take a run like Elijah and just run as far away as we can. But God, today, with as much faith as we can muster, we are looking to You. We trust that You are the God of hope, the God of comfort, the God of joy and peace, and You will fill us as we trust in You. And Lord, I'm praying today as we receive joy and peace from You and our trust is anchored, that our hope would overflow, that we would experience Your power in our life, especially in the area of depression and anxiety. Holy Spirit, come. We are desperate for You today. Desperate for Your healing and Your strength. Yes, Your joy and Your peace. Lord, I pray for that person, the people today that are dealing with this today. It's the feeling of angst or the feeling of despair and depression they woke up with today. God, I pray that the enemy would have his voice silenced, that we would all understand we're not alone. And God, in the days ahead, as we would look around the room and say, hey, I saw You stand that day. Can we have a cup of coffee together? Lord, that as we seek healing in You, it would also, we would find healing and comfort in community. Let it be so today, Lord, for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's worship together.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.